Morning. I am up here with no books and no Bible. I think we need to lighten up. It's been kind of heavy lately. You know, we had the series on the Book of Revelation, and then last week we talked about prayer. So I've scheduled a few lighter talks for February. Of course, it is still me, so lighten up is relative. I've been getting ready for this new prosperity class that starts Tuesday. And of course, we always say prosperity is not just about money. It's having life more abundantly or getting more of what you want. And that always makes some people uneasy, asking for what you want or wanting anything. Desire. Just the word has connotations of something naughty. So where did we get the idea that wanting is bad? You know the usual suspects. Jesus said it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get in heaven. The Buddhists say desire means suffering. The Catholics have a vow of poverty for their most spiritual leaders. And now there's backlash against the law of attraction. Oh, it's just so materialistic. But those concerns are about attachment. They're saying, don't get so caught up in wanting things that you're miserable. Don't focus on the lack. Be grateful, bless what's already here. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But not to want more? We're born wanting. Feed me, change me, hug me, keep me alive. Jesus wanted to teach. The Buddha wanted to ease suffering. Wanting, or desire, is how life works. It's the engine of creation. It's the divine impulse. Everything we learn, every way we grow, is to meet a desire. Our species survives because of our desires for food and, yes, for procreation, but also for self-expression and creativity and expansion. Desire has led to every exploration and invention, a desire to get off the ground and then fly in space. A desire to make maps of the world, a desire to cure disease, a desire 10 years ago to have a unity church in Wimberley. Any desire to make our lives better, to make ourselves better, moves us forward. Desire evolves us. Desire goes by other names: goals, intentions, strategy, blueprint, bucket list. Desire prompts every action we take. What we want makes the world go around. Desire is also prayer. It's asking. You've heard Abraham Hicks talk about rockets of desire, that whenever you want something, you're shooting an energetic rocket of desire, and the universe takes note of that. And whenever you don't want something, you're shooting a rocket of desire for its opposite. So we are constantly asking or registering our desires. If you're watching war on the nightly news, you're sending a rocket of desire for peace. If you're sick, you desire healing. And desire is divine guidance. Emily Cady, Lessons in Truth, said desire is God tapping on your heart, letting you know what's available for you. That's a complete reversal of how we usually think. Imagine if desire is initiated by the divine within. It's God talking to us. Now, you may be thinking about some desires that aren't godly, aren't you? That's one of the primary blocks to receiving our good. So many of us are afraid we want the wrong things, or that we shouldn't want what we want, or we shouldn't have desires at all. Desire just gets you in trouble. Here's the thing about desire. What you really want is a feeling. It's not to do something or have something. You only want to do or have it because of how you think it will make you feel. What you really want is the feeling. That's why there's nothing wrong with desire. Feelings aren't right or wrong. A desire to feel powerful or sexy or wealthy doesn't make you wicked. There are perfectly acceptable ways to get those desires met. So you see what I mean? Some of the things we do are unwise or hurtful to others, or they come from that immature part of ourselves. Sometimes we try to get our desires fulfilled in ways that aren't healthy for us. But what we want to feel is not wrong. All we want to feel is good. What we wear, who we hang out with, whether we meditate, every single decision is based on wanting to feel good. Just like the newborn baby crying wants to feel good. And that is the spiritual teaching. The Dalai Lama said, the point of life is happiness. In our prosperity class, we're told the most important question to ask ourselves is, what would I love? There's a writer I like, a Canadian named Danielle Laporte, who's written a book called The Desire Map. By the way, she says, happiness is carbonated consciousness. But her story is that she and her then-husband were making New Year's resolutions. They were sitting by the fire on New Year's Eve talking about what do we want. And it was the usual list. Well, let's try to take a vacation in Hawaii. Let's lose 10 pounds. And what popped out of her mouth was, how would you like to feel at work? And I think his answer was respected. But they started talking about how they wanted to feel in the coming year. And then what could they do to feel that way? So Danielle came up with a whole process to determine your core desired feelings. Just 3 or 4 or 5 of them. She puts hers on a sticky note. So for example, your core desired feelings might be joyous, free, creative, smart, respected. You can change them anytime. And at the simplest level, you ask, what could I do today that would help me feel that way? So if you have a desire to feel more attractive, maybe today you dress a little better. But we know the power of intentions and words. So once you declare, this is how I want to feel, the opportunities start to multiply. It's like keeping a gratitude journal. You start seeing more things to be grateful for. When you have a list of your core desired feelings, you become more aware of how you feel and what evokes those desired feelings. There are a lot of advantages to focusing on how you want to feel instead of what you want to do or acquire. One is you stay focused on the good. Instead of thinking how bad things are, you have this little list of your core desired feelings reminding you what's possible. Remember, it's God tapping on your heart. It helps you decide when to say no. Everything can be measured against how will it feel to do that or buy that or go there. So, for instance, will taking this job help me feel free and creative, if those are your core desires? Now, you may be thinking, no one and nothing can make me feel anyway. And you are right. But we do tend to have feelings about everything, if we're paying attention. And a lot of us already use our feelings as our guidance system. Sometimes it's just a hunch. You hear people say, something just doesn't feel right about that. And they won't do it. You might call it trusting your intuition. So bring those desires into the light. Get clarity on how you want to feel. Then you'll recognize the feeling when it comes along, even if it doesn't come the way you expected. And that's another advantage. Focusing on desired feelings instead of things takes the specifics out of it. You can detach from how it comes about. It's easy to get attached to outcomes. You know, I want a relationship with that person. No, really? What you want is to feel loved and seen and understood and connected. Or, I want $1 million. Yeah, really? What you want is to feel whatever $1 million would make you feel, secure, prosperous, successful. When we let go of the specifics and just focus on the feeling, the universe has more room to maneuver, to fulfill our desires in many different ways. It also takes the fear out of wanting the wrong things. We have so much fear and self-judgment about what we want. So I want this new house, but what if it falls apart? I want to get married, but what if I choose the wrong person? That fear blocks our good. But if you go for the feeling, then you know you'll like it when you get it. Instead of focusing on a specific house, maybe you want to feel sheltered, cozy, homey. There might be a lot of ways to meet that desire that have nothing to do with a specific house. If you're asking for feelings, you can't go wrong. I've told you before the story about the couple in Dallas that I married. They had both been single a long time. They had both declared to the universe, "I'm ready for the big one. I want the relationship." And when they met each other, it didn't look right. He was 12 years younger than she was. He was about a foot and a half taller than she was. And when they met, they both thought, "Well, not that one." But they said over time, they recognized the feeling. It felt the way they knew the relationship they wanted would feel. The other reason to focus on feelings is that it reminds you you have a choice about how to feel. It's easy to decide, "Well, I can't be happy until circumstances change," or that I can't have what I really desire, especially if it involves other people. So let's talk about this. Suppose someone you love is seriously ill. What do you desire? You want them to be well. How would you feel if they were well? Well, peaceful, joyful, confident about the future. Could it be possible to feel that way even while they're sick? Could you be joyful, peaceful, confident? Is your God big enough to help you feel that way no matter the circumstances? I'm not saying just skip from despair to bliss. You know, just feel better. I am saying if you focus on your core desired feelings, you will find ways to feel them. You will be presented with ways to feel them, and you'll see more clearly what fills those desires. You might end up feeling joy and peace because you're sitting in a hospital room with someone you love. You get to be with them, support them on their journey. There are a lot of ways desires are met or prayers are answered. And your prayers can be quick when you know how you want to feel. Peace now, please. Confidence, please. It's a desire, it's an intention, it's a reminder, it's a plea, it's a feeling. So why focus on how you want to feel? I think I listed five things. It keeps you focused on the good, not what's missing or how bad things are. It helps you decide when to say yes or no, using your feelings as a guidance system. It detaches you from how your desires are met and leaves room for more possibilities. It takes the fear out of wanting the wrong things, because all you want is a feeling, and you don't have to worry about how it comes about. And it reminds you you have a choice of how to feel, no matter the circumstances. And one more, there's no striving. There's no to-do list. Suppose you want to feel relaxed this year. That might or might not involve a trip to Hawaii. You don't have to put something on a list to accomplish. There are so many ways to evoke feelings, to satisfy your desires. So this is where you get to go out and say, "My minister said I should do whatever makes me feel good." Kinda. If you focus on how you want to feel, are you afraid that you'll just be lazy and selfish? Watch TV, eat bonbons all day? Actually, discipline can be freeing and joyful if you're doing what you love. You might be surprised how meeting your core desired feelings shows up for you. Are you afraid you'll be needy and greedy? Buddhists call this the hungry ghost. It's the immature part of us that can't be satisfied. It's unhealthy or codependent. But so what if you're needy? Let it be okay to be imperfect. Don't judge your desires. Acknowledge them. And how they are met will evolve over time. Just remember, you have a right to desire more. It keeps your life moving forward. And of course, when you get one thing, you'll want something else. That's progress. Take a step forward, take another step forward. People who don't want anything are stagnant. And those feelings you want, are divine. You can't own feelings. You're a conduit for them. They are how the divine flows through you. Desires are how you want the divine to feel as it flows through you, or how you know that it does feel in you. Genevieve Barron wrote the little book we're using in the prosperity class, and she said this about wanting. In your effort to possess, you will discover that the thing you most need is to consistently be your best self. Desire is God tapping on your heart, saying there's more available for you. Desire is the catalyst for our evolution. Longing is the presence of the divine. Listen to this from John O'Donohue, Irish poet and priest. Blessed be the longing that brought you here and quickens your soul with wonder. May you have the wisdom to enter generously into your own unease, to discover the new direction your longing wants to take you. May you come to accept your longing as divine urgency. May you know the urgency with which God longs for you. Let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's take a deep breath in and let it out. And settle in your chair. Uncross your legs or your arms, your feet. Just find that centered place where your spine lines up, where you're sitting comfortably but not tense. And take another deep breath in and let it out. And begin to move your attention to your heart space. And see it as this warm, inviting chamber. Warm colors, soft edges. Move yourself into the middle of it. Breathe in that warmth and that sense of comfort. And at the center of it, notice that whichever direction you might turn, there is another pathway, another door, another hall. And all of the life force flowing into and through and out of every one of those hallways or channels. And as you look around and breathe deeper into that warm, comforting place, you notice there is just the slightest, most gentle tapping on one of those doors. You know exactly which one it is. And you turn And with nothing but love behind you, you open that door. So greet this desire, whatever it might be. It has been tapping for a while. Lovingly allow yourself to greet it without judgment, without fear. Simply recognize it. Say hello. Smile at it. And embrace it. And just for a moment, just in the silence, hold on to it. Take a deep breath in. Let it go. And whatever name you have given that desire, or the name it has given you, thank it. Thank yourself for allowing it in. Know this is your word for the day. Carry it with you. Talk to it. Play with it. It is the divine desire. It is yours. It is you. And it is magnificent. So take a deep breath and join me in gratitude in the hallelujah. Hallelujah.